Good morning, church.
Morning.
Happy Father's Day. How many saw my picture earlier today up on the screen? Rob asked me to have a picture taken for Father's Day, and that was what we came up with. And I'm not at all offended by that. Rob took that picture. Payback is terrible. It's good to be here, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14, listen carefully. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Act like a man. Be strong. Let all your things be done with charity or in love. Paul is closing out the book of 1 Corinthians. Instructional thoughts, closing remarks are found in chapter 16. Paul had just written 15 chapters to the church at Corinth as a corrective letter. Corinth was a problematic church. The city of Corinth was a terrible, wicked city. To those who did not know Christ, they reveled in what could be done, could happen, how they could live in Corinth. For the believer, it was a terrible place. The top 20 list of bad places for a Christian to live, this would have been number one. In that context, or in that environment, think with me for a moment, this church began. Everything that had to do with Christ and the church was new to them. There were nothing they could liken it to. So there were difficulties in the church. There were many and varied problems. Factions. Quarreling. I mean literally fighting. Immorality. Taking your brother to law or suing other members in the church. Dishonor and disrespect at the Lord's table. Those who had much were denying those that had little. They misunderstood, wrongly used the gifts that were given to them by the Holy Spirit. They had a great deal of difficulty in the church. Paul wrote correctively and was now gone from that environment, writing this letter, sending it back, asking them to correct the difficulties, the wrong thinking, the wrong application of those things in the church, those things in a church that would commonly be done properly were not being done properly. And so Paul now, after finishing this letter, says to these believers, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, act like a man, that King James has, quit ye like men. Word quit comes from the old English word acquit, or to build yourself up as, to live like. Act in that way. It's a dispositional word. Act like a man. Be strong. So in closing out this letter, Paul is trying to challenge and encourage the Corinthian church to a vigilance in correcting these problems and in a steadfastness in their moving forward as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. They could not stay this way, amen? They could not continue in this fashion. He needed to have them correct these things, and that was a local church responsibility. And as they corrected them, they then could move forward in their walk with God and in their testimony in the city of Corinth, maintaining a godly testimony was essential in a city like that. And so Paul closes his epistle, and it's like he's looking back at what he wrote in the first 15 chapters and saying to them, here's some things that you can do that will correct these problems in the church. And in doing that, he uses four military metaphors. Paul often used metaphoric language. He used agricultural or farming language. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He used military language about running the race. They that run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. He used athletic language. And here he uses four military metaphors. That 13th verse is only six Greek words. It's interesting. They're like little bullet points, one right after another. Bang, 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 bang. And so he says here, in military fashion, that they're to do these things in order to bring the church to the place where it needed to be, in order to stand firm in the faith, not wavering. So let's look at these four military metaphors. The title of the sermon is, if you're writing that down, a military challenge to Christian men. Actually, we could say this is a military challenge to everyone, and here's why. He's writing to the church, and it was not just made up of men. Amen? Or men and women. But we want to make the application today because it's Father's Day, and just challenge our men to do all that we can do, to be all that we can be for Jesus Christ. Amen? Number one, he says this, watch ye. This word watch is an interesting military term. It's used to describe a military sentry, a man on guard, a soldier who is standing guard at night. The encampment now has put away their weapons. They have gone to bed. There was a man given charge to go out and stand guard outside the encampment and to watch. And it means more than stay awake. It means to be alert. In fact, you could say it this way in our application, that they were to be alert to spiritual danger, because the things Paul is wanting them to do, the things he's wanting them to correct, are spiritual problems. And ours is not a warfare between physical armies. Ours is spiritual warfare, all God's people said. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's our fight. There's our battle. That's our enemy. And these military terms are chosen by Paul specifically to handle spiritual battle. Fight in the spiritual realm. So he says, watch. A military sentry, a soldier standing guard at night. And in this condition, there were four things that a soldier did, a Roman soldier, and Paul often uses that in makes spiritual application. He did that in the whole sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you'll remember. And there are four things that are important to understand about this soldier that's watching at night, that's standing guard, that's a sentry. Number one, he's to spy out the enemy and to watch their movement. That's interesting to me. He's in a place where he can overlook and see where the enemy is encamped. See if they're doing anything at night. See if there's any movement about. Are they changing their front? Are they moving closer? Are they moving around? What is happening? He's there to make sure that he can see what's going on and report back to the camp if need be. In the church, we are to watch. Do you understand that you're not just a member here to listen? You're not just a member here to sit. You're a member here to serve. And you're a member here to watch. There are others that would like to come into a church like this and bring in some wrong doctrine. And if we're not careful, it'll come in because we weren't watching. They moved in when we weren't watching. We've got to guard our camp. We've got to watch the movement of the enemy. Number two, they were to guard the line against intrusion, all God's people said. They were to stand there and make sure that no one would come across that invisible line. They used to have what was called a password. My dad was with MacArthur and went back to the Philippines. And when they sent a sentry out, they had a password so that they couldn't come and go just willy-nilly. They had to come and only were allowed to cross that line if they had a password. Well, here's our password: defend the faith. Amen? Earnestly contend for the faith. That's our password. We don't allow anyone to come across the line, if we're watching, that is going to damage the faith. We watch. Then it means to warn of impending attack. They're coming. Amen? Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, we'll use this later, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is coming. He's on attack. Do you think Satan is resting today? He's not. He's attending church. And he wants to ruin this kind of ministry. Not because we're so special, but because God is so special. And he wants to attack. And we must watch. Then Watch means to protect those at the encampment. Amen? You're not just supposed to watch for you, you're supposed to watch for others. We're to care for those in the body. Amen? And watching connotates that thought. We watch to care for those in the body. If they're hurt, we need to be there. If they're struggling, we need to be there. Those that are strong are to help those that are weak. We're to carry their burden. We're to make sure that they're covered with our watchfulness. So Paul says, in this military way, with regard to the church, are you getting this application? With regard to the church that had all these difficulties, he said, watch. Just be alert to spiritual danger, would you? Just watch. Now that I'm gone and I've given you this instruction, do you think Satan's going to go sleep somewhere else? I got news for you. He's coming right there to Corinth. And he's going to try and get you to say, well, Paul wasn't really serious, or Paul didn't understand our particular problem. Paul wasn't given the proper information so that he could deal with these things here. In fact, many of the things we're doing, we don't see anything wrong with. That's what Satan wants them to see. He wants them to say. He wants them to act that way. And Paul said, watch. Watch. The second military metaphor is stand fast. And it literally has a thought of, and when you think of stand fast, I don't know what you think of first, but here's what this word actually means. It's really kind of neat. The word stand fast here means to stay in your place or to keep your spot in the ranks. It's a picture of a united effort in a military campaign, each one standing in their place, forming a united front without leaving. How many remember Gideon? Judges chapter 7. How many remember him? He's a guy that God said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon went like this. Who's he talking about? He was scared to death. He was winnowing wheat in the threshing floor instead of out in the mountains. You know why? Enemy shooting. He was scared to death of the Midianites. He said, listen, I'm the least in my family's household. You got the wrong guy. God said, no, I've got the right fella. And they argued about it for a while. He put a fleece out. He did this. He did that. He did all kinds of things trying to discourage God from going through with this thing. God can't be serious. I'll certainly help him understand it. He's got the wrong man for this job. And he said, finally, okay, I'll do it. And he said, God said, go choose some men. He chooses 3,000. There are 313 or 323,000 Midianites. You get this picture? He gets 3,000 to show up. I would say, ain't going to work. God says, you got too many. Gideon said, excuse me? Do you know that let me do the math for you here. God said, you have too many. You got down to 300. You remember that? Just 300 men. He gave them a pitcher with a light in it, and a trumpet. Now, in fighting in that day, there was always a light and a trumpet blown before you attacked the enemy. It was an offensive formation that came about, and then they attacked when the light was broken and the trumpet was blown. So he had 300 guys, and he had them stand around the encampment of the Midianites. So now this looks like there's 300 different groups encamped around the Midianites if they break those pitchers and blow those trumpets. But he made an interesting statement to them when they were standing there, probably their knees knocking, scared to death. He said this, "And they," talking about the men, "stood every man in his place round about the camp of the Midianites." And you know what happened? When they broke those pitchers and blew those trumpets, the Midianites went nuts, killed each other, took off running. They chased them through Penuel. They chased them all across the country. These 300 valiant men, they stood in their place, every man around the camp. Stand fast. But it does not just say stand fast. It says stand fast in the faith. And this is not talking about the group of doctrines that they adhered to. That's the stuff we have. That's what we have. That's what they had. But it's talking more about their confidence in God and His Word, their faith, their trust, their confidence. Standing fast in confidence in the one who is greater than they are. Amen? Having together an unwavering confidence, not in their wisdom, man's wisdom, but in God's wisdom, they were to stand fast. And they would defeat the devil. They would take care of these problems. They would solve these difficulties if they stood fast. There's a third military term. I love these things, don't you? Number three, act like a man, or quit ye like men. Act like a man. Listen to this. This Greek word is used one time in all of the Bible, and it's used here. It's a word of dridzomai. And it means to act the man. Be the man. I mean, he even said this to women. I find that interesting. You know, male traits are being shot in the foot every 10 seconds in America today because of some wickedness on the part of some men. They are trying to take masculinity and feminize it. Frankly, I don't like that. I think men should be men. They should be the right kind of men, but they should be men. And there are some manly traits that a woman may have to take up on occasion. If there's an attack on your children and your husband's away, you don't say, "You wait until my husband gets home." You take the stick and go out and swat whoever it is trying to mess with your kids. Amen? Isaiah Thomas, the great college and professional basketball player, played for the Detroit Pistons. His brother was a drunkard. Other brother died early. He had a single mama. She tried with everything she could to keep those boys away from the streets. She didn't know what else to do, so she bought Isaiah a basketball. She walked with him out to the court. When he shot, he'd shoot. And she walked him back to the house. One time, two or three guys showed up, took the basketball. His mama took a big switch, went to the house, found all three of those boys, gave them a licking they were sorry to get, took the basketball back, brought it back to Isaiah. He's doing the part of what a father should have been doing, but he wasn't there to do it. Act like a man. This has to do with the actual fight. So this is a picture of the engagement. They're actually fighting. Well, in the battle, act like a man. And just in three ways, Number one, show your courage. Amen? Show your courage. By the way, courage is not the absence of fear. Let me say that again. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is acting even in fear properly. Amen? It's not the absence of fear. You telling me those boys that go to war over there for our nation aren't fearful? Sure, they're fearful, but they're courageous. Even though they're fearful, they act properly. They stand up. They do their work. They fight valiantly. Many of them give their lives so that we can do what we're doing right now. It means to press forward. It means to be properly equipped. Amen? Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's our equipment. Amen? Do you know in that equipment that's listed in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, there is only one offensive weapon listed. Only one. Taken to you the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Breastplate of righteousness isn't an offensive weapon. It's a protective weapon, defensively. You wear it to protect yourself. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's not an offensive weapon. The only offensive weapon we have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it's interesting to me that if you're not clad properly, that sword's going to do you no good because you're going to be dead in a second. Partially clad soldiers will not do. Put on the whole armor of God. And it's not man's armor either. Did you notice that? It's the whole armor of God. It's divine armor. It's not something that can physically be seen, but Satan knows it's there. His emissaries are aware of it. Equipping oneself in order to do what you must do is acting like a man. Then one more, he says this, be strong. And it's inner strength he's talking about here. It means, how many ever heard the intestinal fortitude? How many ever heard of that? That's not used very often anymore. It means fortified inside, amen? It's something that comes from in you, from inside your being. It's not flexing your muscles and telling people how strong you are. But it's standing firm. It's being strong. It's mental toughness. It's personal character in the trenches. Because you serve one greater than all the rest. I told you my dad was in the Philippines. MacArthur met with many of the leaders in the Philippines and left early in the war and said, I'll be back. I'll come back. They had the greatest admiration for that man. Both them, Korea, I mean, I could go on and tell you stories about things. But when he came back, those freedom fighters, those men that were just fighting from bush to city, bush to city, bush to city, many of them dying for their belief for freedom. Little band sometimes of men, but they stayed after it. When MacArthur came back, the fighting ensued, and they were even more courageous. The end of that battle, when there was freedom, finally came back to the Philippines, a newsman was writing an article, and he talked to some of these these Filipinos about the fight. And he asked him this question: how was it that you were so committed? How was it that you fought so fiercely? How was it that you didn't just give up? What if no protection came? They said, we fought, and this is a great phrase, a great statement. We fought so ardently because we knew the general. All God's people said. Amen. They fought so fiercely because they knew the general. 3 times in the book of Joshua, Joshua 1:9, 1:18, and 10:25, upon entering Canaan and facing those battles that would come, we find these words repeated 3 times. Be strong and of a good courage. That's all Paul's saying. Be strong and of a good courage. This was not talking about the weapons they could carry, not the physical strength of their army, but their strength of character and mental toughness because, listen to me, their strength and mental toughness because they knew the general. King Jesus. Captain Jesus. Paul says, here are some military terms that might help you in clearing the air, fixing the problems, moving forward for God at Corinth. And the same's true of us. These 4 things apply. You know, when you're in the fight, sometimes we get so fierce because we're defending that we defend so overtly that we offend. Amen? A man you're going to witness to and you're going to tell him that he needs Christ and he's stubborn and he's giving you all kinds of arguments and you say, if you died, you're going to die and you're going to die and you're going to burn in what? Yeah. Well, that's a great soul-winning tactic. Well, I was defending the faith. Yeah. You were offending the faithless. Well, Paul was sure that this could happen. These things could come up and they could do it in a wrong way. A right thing in a wrong way is still wrong. And noting that, it's interesting, he adds this 14th verse. And here's what he says. Let all your things, and he's absolutely referring to those 4 statements. Let all your things be done with what? Love. All God's people said. Amen. With love. Let love temper your argument. Let love regulate your position. Let love be the foremost thing in dealing with hard and difficult situations. Let love temper your life. Love. It's to regulate those things that we do to stand up, to watch, to act properly, to be strong. Men, we have a great responsibility. Amen? Let's act like men. Lord, help us to love you and serve you. And may this simple little message be brought home to our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.